on the lake, so we're going fishing. With me is my best friend Mike. We're hitting Lake Boygan for the trophy fight.
Will I catch a perch?
Hey, I guess so. I got some new jigs and a brand new Zebco. I loaded up the truck with all my new gear. Mike got the bait, I bought the beer.
Steve Carney. He is our guest. He is a fishing guide extraordinaire. He is a radio host on WCCO 830 out of the Twin Cities, and he writes for Minnesota Outdoor News. If people want to listen to your program or listen to your reports on WCCO, Steve, how can they do that?
You can listen online on 135 on Saturday afternoons. We kind of do our thing, and we're catching a lot of people traveling. We're catching people going to their cabins, dragging a boat, going fishing. It's a really good time to kind of catch people being mobile, and it's worked out for us.
Good. So you give reports from lakes, and you give reports from wherever. We were just talking in the previous segment about how you're everywhere in the upper Midwest fishing, so I assume you do that on your radio program, too.
Yeah, that's the fun part. You never know where I'm going to be showing up at, and kind of the fun is the diversity of different areas of the Dakotas and Wisconsin, Minnesota, and kind of talk about what I've been doing that week and, you know, the lakes I'm on and, you know, kind of a fishing, hunting report. This is what I've been up to kind of thing. So it's always changing.
What's the, you know, we talked about how you fish so many different bodies of water in so many different areas and different body types. Is there a consistent theme when it comes to catching walleyes, for example? Let's use that because everybody wants to catch walleyes. Is there one consistent thing that you can transplant from body of water to body of water that's going to help your average Joe out there listening to KFGO right now?
Boy, that's a good question, Mike. I would say more than anything else, use your electronics to find fish before you actually drop the line over. And that's taken me a long time to learn. Back in the day when I started out, if I found a nice break or a rock pile, I fished that spot because it looked kind of cool and sexy. There's fish here. There's got to be fish here. So I wasted a lot of time doing that. And now over the years, I've just got to the point I will actually use my electronics and I will scan a lake for maybe 45 minutes before I start fishing.
Really?
And you know, you're impatient. You want to fish. And if I'm with clients, you know, they're tapping their feet. They want to fish.
Yeah.
But no. I do a lot of looking first. I look at weed lines. I look at deep water, shallow water, and kind of assess what's going on, what the wind's doing, what the weather's been the last couple of days. Thinking about baits, thinking about shallow, thinking about deep. And then once I kind of formulate a game plan, I start fishing. But it takes me half hour, 45 minutes till I feel, okay, this is what we're going to do.
You are about 1% of all anglers doing that, I'm guessing, because I'm the guy you just described. I get my boat in the water and I'm going, I want to fish, man. There's a point. I'm going to go fish off that point.
Yep.
I don't know if there's a fish there. I have no idea, but I'm going to fish it because it looks good to my eye.
Yeah, you know, I'm on so many lakes, probably 70 lakes, 80 lakes, I'd say, in a season. And for me, I'm getting back on a lake I haven't been on for a long time. So I do have other spots that I fished before that I can go to, but fishing memories doesn't always work either. But I think scanning, you know, what you're doing is very important. Looking for bait fish, looking for weed edges, all that is just kind of, you know, I got to get a feel for what I'm doing first, and then I get on it.
You said fishing memories isn't productive, and that's one thing that Gary Roach told me many, many years ago when I had the opportunity to fish with Mr. Roach. He said, don't, if you caught fish here last week, that doesn't mean there's going to be fish here this week. So don't waste your time fishing memories. But let me ask you this, as somebody who fishes a lot of the same lakes at the same time of the year, like you talked about before, Steve, are there spots where you're pretty darn sure there's going to be fish at a certain time of the year?
No.
Really? Okay, that's surprised. That answer surprises me.
No, you know, we're going through so many changes in the quality of our water. Milfoil issues, invasive species has changed a lot of lakes that I fish. Water depth, high water, low water, things change so much. Fluctuation with bait fish populations, high, they're low. No, I really can't say that. And I will fish an old spot, a memory spot, maybe for 5 or 6, 7 minutes, and I'm out of there. And, you know, I never anchor. I haven't anchored in 25 years, and I am not a believer in sitting on a spot. I am Mr. Mobile, go, go, go. Even if I catch 2 fish on a spot, I move because I want more. I want better than that.
You're the ADD fisherman then. You're the guy that just can't sit still. And I'm going to take a wild guess here. You don't like slip bobber fishing for walleyes in the spring, do you?
I don't have a bobber in my boat.
Really?
No. No, and you know, I get people up from all over the world that go, I want a bobber fish, and that's how they fish. And I go, I don't have a bobber in the boat, sorry. No, it's that's not my bag. I move a lot, and I change lakes a lot, believe it or not. If I have a typical group in the morning, I'll change lakes. I give my lake an hour or two, whatever that choice may be. I trailer, I'm gone, I'm on the next lake. So I'm always planning ahead for the worst case scenario.
Well, yeah, you have to. It's absolutely.
Because you know, weather changes everything. And again, it's more classical towards the city lakes, the metro lakes in Minneapolis, St. Paul, that are affected by too much fishing pressure. Milfoil has changed completely everything in terms of fishing and location and where the fish are compared to what they used to be. So I have to adapt to the conditions, to the people. That's why I road trip very frequently. I'll do a 3-hour run to Leech Lake the same day. I'll leave at 3 a.m, on the water at 6, done at noon, home by 3. I do that because I go to quality fishing instead of waiting for quality fishing to come to me.
The reason you're in Fargo is you're going to be giving some seminars at the Red River Valley Sportsman Show beginning tonight, if I'm not mistaken, right? Tonight at?
The show starts tonight at 5 o'clock. I'm doing a bow hunting seminar at 6:30 tonight.
And so are you going to be doing all your seminars are going to be bow hunting, or are you going to mix it up with hunting and fishing?
It's going to be a little of everything, probably mostly bow hunting. I'm going to be doing it tomorrow as well on Friday at 1:30 and 5:30. Bow hunting is a passion that is even beyond fishing. As much as I love to fish, and that's my livelihood and my life, I'm a unbelievable lover of bow hunting. It's my passion. I love to be alone. I'm tired of, you know, people in my boat all year and holding hands. And when the fall comes, it's my time. And I bow hunt pretty much every night of the season, which is about 110, 120 nights on stand.
Wow.
Because I love it. I can still get up and hang a portable tree. I can still drag a deer. My wife still loves me. And
that's
I do
my next question. What does your wife think about this hobby and this passion of yours?
She doesn't get it. She is an elementary school teacher.
But she allows you to do it.
Yeah, but kind of under duress. We've been married 37 years, and she does not understand my passion for the outdoors. She allows it. She doesn't really understand it, but I don't want her in my boat, and I don't think she wants me in her classroom.
Sure.
So it's one of those marriages that we have to work at very hard.
Yeah.
But we've been married a long time. We love each other. But no, I don't think she'll ever quite get it.
Okay.
That's the way it is.
So where's your favorite spot to bow hunt? Do you have your spots around the Twin Cities that you hunt, or do you drive 3 hours for that too?
I'm all over the place. I have stands out in the Minnesota River Valley, on the South Dakota-Minnesota border, up by Princeton, up in Wisconsin, in the metro area, Houston, Minnesota. I have about 40 portable tree stands that I hang in the summer in between fishing gigs. So all my little portables are set up. Everything's done. So when the season hits in the beginning of September, I play musical portable tree stands, and I go according to the weather, and that's my time, man. That is my time.
Good for you. So one more time, let people know, when can they hear you speak at the Sportsman Show?
It's going to be tonight at 6:30, and then tomorrow on Friday at 1:30 and 5:30. And we'll probably start with bow hunting, and who knows where we're going to end up. But I tell you, there's a brotherhood out there of bow hunters. There is It's hard to explain. It's
very,
kind
very
of
a passionate group of people.
It's
if,
kind
if
of
you
a
do
cult.
It, you kind of love it. Yep.
It's kind of worse than musky guys. Once you learn the sport and you get proficient, it takes hold of you, and you never gun hunt again, and it is an incredible part of your life.
Cool. Thank you, Steve. Thanks for stopping by. Good to see you.
Great to see you again, Mike.
You bet. Steve Carney, WCCO, Minnesota Outdoor News, and a fishing guide.
Hey, I'm a country man. A city boy can't do the things I...